This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Monday morning, start the 7 o'clock. The 15th of April, halfway through the month already.
Nice.
Yes. Winter's coming. So is Game of Thrones' new episode of a brand new season. Timing's good. And if you are going to be one of those people who puts out spoilers today on the internet, then I just know that I hate you. And furthermore, I hate you.
Well, it'll be a day where you don't use the internet that much.
I think that's what I'm going to do. Stay out of it.
It'll be okay.
See, you can't reach me if I switch off these things. I think that's how a lot of us are going to behave, especially if we like these things. Okay, let's get on with the morning and see what we've got on the agenda for you today. So many things to talk about. We've got Hillary Clinton. We've got a baby born with DNA from three people.
How did that happen?
I will tell you. R. Kelly gave a 28-second performance after being paid $22,000 for it. Now, you've got to ask yourself, who would pay that douchebag? Yeah. To perform, especially in the light of all these horrible things that we're hearing about him. But before we get into those, Leanna's got some stuff up her sleeve as well. And if you want to join in, all you need to do, 0797482090, send us a message, a voice note, whatever it is that's on your mind.
Very good.
All right, so where do we begin?
Well, a man from the UK who has been a fugitive for 21 years, has been on the run for 2 decades.
That's a long time to remain like ahead of the cops.
Yep. And he's been nabbed finally, but in Tshwane, of all places.
You're joking.
In Pretoria.
What?
Yeah. He was once threatened with legal action for using a photo of former soccer star Eric Cantona.
Cantona, sorry.
I don't apologize for not knowing a soccer person's name.
No.
He used his image on wines and brandy without his consent.
So this is why he's a fugitive?
That's not the only reason. He was also involved in stealing a car, and that was in Umbilo in 2014. He was arrested on an Interpol red notice, they call it.
Wow.
Which shows that a person is wanted on the basis of an arrest warrant or equivalent judicial decision. His name is Brandon William Pyatt. He's 64, apprehended in Hatfield last week when police acted on information that a wanted man was in the area. So, yeah, he appeared in the Durban Magistrates Court because this is where he faces the car theft charge. And on Thursday, and the case has been postponed to the 17th, which is Wednesday, for bail application.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's been convicted of a series of fraud and deception offences, and that was in the UK before he fled to South Africa.
Gee, that's amazing. An amazing story.
I think the
guy's been hiding for 21 years in
good
in
on a good story sight. For our police to have arrested him here.
Yeah, because they often miss people like Umar al-Bashir. other like very obvious criminals.
Oh,
they found this one.
This is good. All right, very nice. Well done. Well done, the cops.
Very nice. And then I actually saw the news flash on my phone over the weekend that a man had jumped from the emergency, not the emergency exit, but the plane's door.
What?
But the plane was grounded.
Oh.
But still, the fall is huge.
Considerable. You look at how high those wings are, especially in a big plane.
Yeah. And now I see that the story was a whole lot more than that. It was a really, really strange episode on an American Airlines flight on Friday. A man, while he was on the plane, mm-hmm. started walking around and touching the faces of random passengers.
Oh, boy.
He then sprayed them with an unknown substance.
Oh, boy. This is not good.
Okay, so the plane was about to land, and so they did ground the plane in Arizona, in Phoenix, and mm-hmm. that's when the man then opened up the plane door without warning and jumped out. So he was obviously quite badly injured and then treated in hospital. He was taken off immediately by paramedics who were called to the scene. But no one still knows what this substance was that he sprayed on people.
Oh.
Or what his motivation was.
Oh, someone must try that with me. I would deck the guy. I mean, this is clearly just, what do you do, Ben? You're, someone walks up to you on a plane.
Firstly, he's touching your face.
Well, touching the face, that's where it ends.
Yeah, I'm not going to suffer that very easily.
See, and
what do you do, Sia? What do you do if someone comes with a little spray bottle, sprays someone in your face?
The only thing this person violence. Is violence.
You have to punch them in the throat at this point.
Yes.
I'm not crazy when I say the killer is out there, folks. There is someone right now sitting in their bedroom concocting some weird plan. They will be at your local grocery store. They're going to like have syringes and inject shit into your bread. They are standing outside your complex. They are waiting to poison the security guard at your complex.
The killer
and the messed up man is at the robots right now, trying to wire everything so that he could get joy in seeing everyone's cars smash into each other. The killer and the crazy man is out there.
Sia's world is full of like
just
constantly moving parts where all the parts are conspiring against him.
Okay.
My
call
best
me
is
crazy and look at what happens. Someone is touching someone's face.
I think it's very rare.
Sia's killer's not, his motivation is not just hunger or poverty. It goes way deeper than that Sia's mind.
The killer's screwed up.
All right, so apparently a pilot on United Airlines has told a story about being arrested for a really ridiculous reason. We talked about this crazy passenger, but tell us about this guy.
This poor guy, he has had 6 months of absolute hell.
So he's a pilot.
He's a pilot on United Airlines. He has more than 2 decades of experience, loves his job.
Sure.
In September last year, he stayed overnight at the last minute at a hotel in Denver. It's an airport hotel, so one of those hotels that are literally attached to the airport. And that's where his nightmare began, one that involved handcuffs, 2 days in jail, an embarrassing criminal case hanging over his head, suspension for 6 months from the job that he loved. What did he do to deserve this? Well, while he was at this hotel, Hotel Western, he woke up in the morning, took off his clothes and was getting ready to go and shower. And his phone rang. So he picked it up, answered the phone, and he was speaking to a colleague about a campaign that he was about to be elected for within the flying world.
Right.
And he spoke to this colleague for 24 minutes while he was in his birthday suit and pacing around the room, just chatting on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And little did he know that the window in his hotel room wasn't made of privacy glass.
Oh.
Okay. So he was visible in all his naked glory for 24 minutes to people standing in one of the terminals at the Denver airport.
Nice.
So, I mean, the whole thing seemed ridiculous in retrospect, but it turned out to be really serious. Police just barged into his hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And arrested him for indecent exposure.
Really?
Or for throwing out a vibe, however you want to phrase it.
Throwing out a vibe, that's a good one.
He was bored.
The cops gave him pants to put on, and that was it. He was still shirtless, handcuffed him, took him, they went through some of his belongings, grabbed the necessities, and took him to the police station.
Oh, my God.
From there off, he was carted off to jail. He was there for 2 days before he even got to see a judge.
Wow.
Goodness.
Suspended from flying.
Just for being naked?
And he had to wait 6 months to go to court.
Ay, yay, this is crazy.
I know. So, obviously, the criminal case is now over because the police made a mountain out of a molehill, and
But also, you got to ask yourself. So there was a story. It was a WhatsApp message that someone sent of this guy basically getting head on the roof of Sandton City. Did you see it last week?
Yes.
So I mean, are we really going to zoom in and get the guy's face? Who's getting the? We don't know who the woman is who was giving him pleasure, but we can't tell. It's very grainy footage, but it was obviously filmed from nearby.
It was from the Weber Wenzel.
Oh, was it Weber Wenzel? Nice. So a whole bunch of attorneys.
Pent up attorneys. Just,
So what are we going to make the police arrest? Please, you don't have to look. You know, the funny thing is if there's a naked pilot for United Airlines, running around the hotel room, which he thinks he's private. You know, you can't be seen in. Hey, do you need to look? Arrest the guy. It's ridiculous to arrest someone
for nudity. He couldn't fly for 6 months.
It's crazy.
No.
So what the good news is that he has turned this around completely. And now he is taking the city of Denver
good
to court in a good in a $1 million law case.
$1 million.
And also, like, this is where business, private business has to be smart. Give this guy, like, an underwear endorsement. Hot property.
People need to calm down.
But get in there. Help the guy out. Do something positive around this.
He was not standing and, you know, he wasn't playing with
wasn't
himself.
Knocking one off. Yeah,
you know, looking while people were looking on. He wasn't standing outside his school with his trousers down. He thought he was in a private capacity.
This is the foot. The people laughing about the guy getting the head on the rooftop.
See, now I think that's a little different because it's a sexual act. But did you see the follow-up video to that?
No, what's the follow-up video?
Folks, I need to find it for
what
you.
What is it?
Turns out the guy getting heads like a DHL Express delivery guy?
There's a security guard who walks up to them.
Oh.
And you can tell by the exchange that clearly they panic because they're busted. And then all of a sudden you see the lady walk off with the security guard. Lo and behold, can't make this shit up. Security guard and the lady walk to the other side of the rooftop. And then the lady gives the security guard head.
I know.
I kid you not.
What a filthy mouth this woman has.
She works hard
or a professional one.
But you clearly then the exchange was the security guard saying, look, so that I don't bust you guys. Make me keep quiet in this way.
And was that filmed as well?
It was filmed.
From the same angle?
Yes, from the same angle. I need to find for you.
Sure. Jeez. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Obviously, they had no idea that there were buildings around them that there could be people in. This is the weirdest thing about, I suppose, living in any big city, is that you could look through the window and see just about any story, a big one or a small one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But you see, I mean, like with this pilot, if you look at the law of indecent exposure, he would have had to have intentionally exposed himself with the intent to arouse or satisfy the sexual desire of any person.
Which clearly he didn't do.
No, he was having a phone conversation.
But those two on the roof at Sandton did.
Those were putting on a show. That's for sure.
Here's an interesting story and something that we bring up often. Donald Glover, who's also known as Childish Gambino, right?
Right. Yes.
He told Coachella attendees, because, you know, Coachella's on the go at the moment, to put their phones down.
What, instead of filming?
Yeah, he said, I'm trying to give you something special. He headlined the opening night of the music festival on Friday with a 90-minute performance. He said, put your phones down. This is not a concert. This is church. If you came here to hear your favorite song, you should go home and do that. If you came here just to take Instagram pictures and shit, you should go into the back and move right now. I want you to feel this. He also paid tribute to his late father
good
and the rapper Nipsey Hussle, according to Pitchfork. But, you know, I always find it very bizarre. You are not going to get a better picture than the official photographer, the official Coachella photographer, the one who took this picture of Childish Gambino I'm looking at on the internet right now. Your shitty phone, even with its high resolution and everything else, is not going to be better footage.
And also, everyone, look around you. Everyone's doing the same thing. So everyone's going to have the exact same footage.
So none of it's exciting. But the fact that you're there and looking at it with your eyes, without a screen in front of you. And look, I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. I sometimes want to record a special moment, so I get it. But most of it, I was at this thing in France, this Tomorrowland winter. Most of it, I absorbed with my own eyes. You take out your phone, you take a few pictures, you take a video or two, and then you enjoy the rest of the concert. Like there was Sam Smith this weekend here in Joburg.
Yeah.
I saw a whole lot of people posting really shitty footage from their phones of wherever they were in the crowd.
No.
You're watching Sam Smith.
I don't get the point.
It's as grainy as the person getting head on top of Sandton City.
Well, like, pretty much. Be the person getting the head. Don't be the person filming it.
pretty much the only golfing tournament in the world you can't take your phone to is the Masters.
Yes.
So there's this amazing image of Tiger winning and everyone is watching and cheering. There's not a single phone in sight.
That's amazing. Mm.
You go to anywhere else in sport and people who go to the Masters, they all say it is the greatest thing when they take the phone away from you because you actually get to experience something again.
Wow.
People rediscover what it's like to actually take in a live experience.
Yeah.
Love it.
I think this is a good and positive trend. You see it. We've seen it now with a lot of comedians who say this. Now, if it's going to performances as well, I think it's only good.
Yeah, you look at talk shows as well. And I actually was watching an Ellen show just on this weekend. And the camera pans into the crowd. And you'd see people without their phones just sitting and enjoying the experience. Laughing, watching, putting their hands over their mouths, reacting. And all of that can happen without you doing it on social media.
Yeah, definitely. So here's Childish Gambino bringing that story good to on the him. Front.
The only moment we get to do that now is when Facebook is down.
Well, really? Which happened yesterday. And, mm-hmm. and for anyone who was confused or worried about the fact that nobody cared about them because they hadn't got a like in a whole 2 hours, it wasn't you. You're not completely irrelevant, although you might be.
All right.
But it was only... if you were looking at Facebook on your phone, that it didn't work. Because I went on my laptop and looked, and it was fine from my laptop.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, there we go.
Well, Facebook just issued an apology on behalf of the company with regards to the shutdown, and they just say they apologize for the inconvenience of it all. That's all.
Okay.
But sticking to some Facebook news, here's something interesting. We know our favorite, Mark Zuckerberg, has had quite an interesting couple of months.
Yes.
Particularly last year. He's had to do that whole apology tour. He's been stuck in some fake news scandal. He's been stuck in some election interference scandal as well. And all of this ends up resulting in quite a hectic and heavy security fee that he has to pay.
Really?
So the company and in his own personal capacity say that with a lot of these scandals, Mark is the one who bears the brunt of it to the point where he fears for his life. So think about this. His security costs last year alone amounted to $20 million.
My word.
Wow, he's really frightened. The world obviously hates him. You know, if you need this much security, no, seriously, you've got to think about this. I always look at politicians who need huge amounts of security too. And popular politicians, people who truly have their nation behind them, will never need to fear assassination. I mean, we've lived through a lot more dangerous times than the present. And, you know, someone like, I mentioned this only because we just did the Blind History episode of her the other day, Elizabeth I. She would walk through her a crowd of her people and she would talk to them and she would, you know, they would obviously reach out their hands and try to touch her and all the rest of it. And this was a queen in the post-medieval era. I mean, it wasn't exactly the safest time in the world. There were assassinations going on all over the place. And she did it because she was popular. If you're Mark Zuckerberg and you have to fear for your life to the tune of $20 million in security, you've got problems, man. Don't always think that it's better to be Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-mm.
Clearly not.
$20 million, if you compare that to what Jeff Bezos pays in security, Jeff pays $1.6 million, and the head of Uber only pays $2 million. So Mark is actually quite paranoid, to say the least. Facebook International has more than 6,000 people who work in their security division alone. This is in comparison to the 80,000 employees worldwide. And in their headquarters in Menlo Park in the United States, he supposedly has a secret panic chute in the building. Ooh. From where he works, roughly.
Panic suite?
A panic chute.
I like a secret
to
chute.
Exit the building should anything ever happen in the building. Yeah.
Oh, so everyone else in the building be damned. It's about saving Mark Zuckerberg because he's such a special human.
Well, he's slippery like lizard. What do you expect?
Yeah, right.
This $20 million also covers himself, his wife, and his two children. He has personal security that goes into any public space and sweeps a la, like, you know, secret service of a president. And he also has some civilian dressed security guards who mill around the Facebook building. So you might be a Facebook employee and might be thinking, oh, yeah, it's just Leanne, who's a colleague, but it's actually Mark's personal team, security team, who works around this. So here's another interesting fact. The entire Facebook office is built on top of a parking lot. And so that's where everyone parks their cars, naturally. But no one is allowed to park directly underneath Mark's office because they say you could have a car bomb, drive it directly underneath Mark, and you could kill him in that way. Jeez. So that's not allowed at all.
Talk about planting seeds. I mean, I bet no one was even thinking of doing that type of stuff.
And even though he tries to instill a culture of let's all be transparent and let's all work alongside each other, so Mark also has access to a large glass-walled conference room. So it's transparent enough for you to see through, but that glass is actually bulletproof.
Oh, my God.
And
imagine just think about this. He
doesn't trust his own employees.
Facebook offices are very seldom, and I've been to these offices, they're not filled with strangers, right? You get vetted as you go in. Everybody has to wear a card around your neck. I've seen the offices inside and out. You've seen the canteen and all the stuff. Mm. Now, where Mark Zuckerberg works is another office across the road. And that office is even more security conscious, as C has already detailed. But what he's essentially afraid of is his own employees shooting him.
Mm.
That's what he's... These are the people who sit around him. Now he's going to put bulletproof glass in the conference room?
It's not a life.
And a panic button on his desk as well.
What a douche.
Just another day in the life of Mark Zuckerberg.
Donald Trump doesn't have these things, and he's the president of the United States.
This is true.
$20 million for security.
Jesus.
But I did say earlier, the killer's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't.
If Sia had $20 million to spend on security, he would.
Right. Do you remember that movie Bubble Boy?
Yes.
That would be me.
Yeah, if Sia was a billionaire, he'd be spending Mark Zuckerberg money on security easily. Oh.
Ain't nobody touching his face or spraying strange substances.
You know, like with the politicians in South Africa, and there are places all over the world where these guys who have these huge security details, most of it is just showy. It's just a show. It's like
the Blue Light Brigade thing.
Yeah, it's an ego thing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Totally
unnecessary. You don't actually have to travel fast with lights on to get to where you need to get to.
No, it's just a big ego thing. All right.
Well, no amount of security could have prevented this accident.
Oh, no.
The world's biggest bird.
Yes.
And most dangerous.
What is it?
The cassowary.
Yes, of course.
Is it the biggest bird?
Ostrich. Sorry, ostrich is the biggest.
Yeah.
But this is a relative, and it's almost as big. It's along with emus as well.
Yes.
In down under. But a cassowary has killed a man in Florida in the US.
Well, they're horrible things. They look like a very, very overgrown guinea fowl.
Ugh. They're like...
with long legs.
They're like how we expected birds to look like in the dinosaur era.
Yeah, I'd say a guinea fowl with long legs. That's kind of the best approximation, with a big thing on its head. But apparently they have very, very powerful legs and they can kick you to death.
Oh, they do not look like friendly creatures.
No, and they've got these enormous claws. They've got dagger-like claws. And this is how this guy died. He was in the enclosure of this cassowary and he fell. He tripped and fell and landed on the floor. And this bird sliced him open.
Jesus.
With one single swift kick.
Oh.
Woo! Yeah, and they're really powerful. I mean, they can jump 2 meters straight up into the air.
What?
With their legs are so powerful.
Good Lord, what horrible things.
The claw on the inner toe is up to 4 inches long. And they can run really fast, as we know from our own ostriches here, how fast they can run. And they're really heavy. They're no match for humans. Despite all of this, it is legal to keep one of these with a permit in Florida.
Of course, this is happening in Florida.
Yeah.
We know what that's like.
They're class 2 animals. That means they're less dangerous than a tiger, but more threatening than a domestic pet, along with dwarf crocodiles, wolves, bobcats, and certain monkeys. Well, so, yeah, they seem harmless. They eat fruit. They're not out to eat the human being.
Well, but that's what they say.
They can get really, really dangerous.
I don't trust these things. So they're armed with thick helmet-like plates in their foreheads and powerful legs that can run up to 30 miles an hour. Cassowaries are also called living dinosaurs. Their 4-inch talons bear an uncanny resemblance to those of velociraptors.
Mm-hmm.
And conservationists say the birds are one of the most direct relations to the prehistoric creatures who are still here after 80 million years.
Oh,
and not only the way they look, but the way they sound. Apparently they communicate with hisses, whistles, and clapping their bills. Then they do this rumble when they're being threatened. And apparently the rumble is so low and powerful that zookeepers who work with these birds say that they can actually feel it in their bones.
Oh, well, apparently their talons used to, they look more like reptile legs than they do like bird legs.
These things look like they could fit in the movie Avatar.
Mm.
Yeah, they do. They've sort of got a blue color to their faces. And anyway, they are native to the rainforests of Australia and New Zealand. They generally avoid people. They're a force to be reckoned with if they're threatened. And despite being flightless, they can jump up to 5 feet, as Leanne said, 2 meters into the air, and will kick out their taloned feet to defend themselves.
Imagine standing next to this big bird that jumps up double your height.
Mm.
What?
It's amazing. I didn't know that they... I mean, these are very, very bizarre creatures. Apparently, they disperse seeds from the fruit that they eat around the forest floor, which in turn creates more growing plants for others to feed on.
So they're conservationists.
Yeah. To ensure companies don't purchase land within habitats for development, Rainforest Rescue actively participates in purchases of rainforest plots to buy back and restore former forests that have been cut down by developers where these cassowaries live.
So yeah, we haven't heard of them killing people before. This is
only one human.
Just the one.
Yeah. So there we go.
Just don't fall down next to one of them, okay?
No.
Stand your ground.
They'll probably ruin everything.
Yeah.
Oh, spoil your holiday to New Zealand or Australia. All right.
There are a couple of videos doing the rounds on social media.
Guys on the roof of Sandton City?
Yeah, besides that one.
Cassowaries killing people?
There's a video of a wedding in China that's going on. The bride and the groom are up at the altar. It's a modern Chinese wedding, which apparently is very similar to the weddings that we know in Western culture. So they're up at the top, at the front of the church, and the groom's ex-girlfriend busts into the church.
Oh, there we go.
And she's wearing a wedding dress.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. And she runs up to the stage or the platform that they're on
and
falls to her knees in front of the groom and pulls him on his hands. And he apparently just ignores her completely and faces his bride again. But she carries on and on. Eventually, the groom and the bride had to walk off of this platform and halt the proceedings because she was just causing such a fuss.
Why would you do this? Why you humiliate yourself by going down on your knees in front of this guy at his wedding? You know it's going to end in rejection and pain. Why would you put yourself through that? The trauma of doing that.
And you know someone's filming it.
Oh, Gareth, you aren't thinking about that in that moment.
No, Sia,
what do you mean? She's gone and put on a dress. She's, it's premeditated.
She's planned it.
Yeah.
Just think of, how did she, in her wildest imagination, think it would go? Like, how did she think
did
it
she
would
think
go?
Did she think he was going to turn around?
Her intent was just to ruin the day.
And marry her instead.
Well, if your intent is to ruin the day, guess whose day is going to be ruined? Yours. And it would be just desserts.
And everyone's going to watch you and laugh
story.
At you.
Unbelievable.
Another video doing the rounds is a border collie who saved his little Chihuahua friend.
Yes.
It was all caught on in Canada on film. So you know some driveways have security footage cameras?
Yes.
And it was filming this snowy driveway.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you see the homeowner playing catch or fetch or whatever with a ball with this Chihuahua and a border collie. She then goes and gets into her car and she starts reversing. And the Chihuahua runs behind the car and almost gets knocked over.
Uh-oh.
But the border collie runs in but bolts in and sweeps up this little Chihuahua in his mouth. And runs off with him and saves him from the reversing car.
Oh my God.
And the owner saw this flash of something happening in their rear view mirror and got out the car. And you see them, the three of them all happy and safe. But yeah.
Wow, what a story.
That's sweet.
Can I play you R. Kelly's 28-second performance at an Illinois nightclub?
Oh. Let's see if it's worth how much.
So fans paid from $50 to $100 to see him and to be around him. And he went in and did this. Here it is. This is R. Kelly live in a club last night. All right. Can you imagine you paid for that?
I'd be so pissed.
But who's cheering?
Yeah.
Where? Who? How?
These are young women. It's mostly young women in the crowd. They are obsessed with R. Kelly. They don't seem to have a problem with the fact that he's been accused of the most horrible things.
Yeah, it might seem like a generalized statement, but these are probably the same people who will write letters to prisoners and, you know, send their panties to people who are stuck in prison.
Yeah.
But R. Kelly hasn't been having the easiest of times past couple of weeks. We know that. And before this performance, he actually went to Instagram and he's like, folks, please just be nice to me. Please just take it easy. I think those were his words. Yeah, take it easy on me. And he took this gig, which was his first public gig in a while. He actually kept everyone waiting, rocked up to this club at 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
The club wasn't even packed up because it has a capacity of 450 people, which is a relatively small club for mega R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. And only 100 people pitched up.
Oh, wow. But so, they all paid between $50 and $100 to see him.
Yeah.
By the way, he looks like an idiot in the clip, too. He's wearing a scarf and then this beanie on top of a scarf and big sunglasses. He's inside at night. He's wearing sunglasses. And there's a guy standing next to him. He's obviously in his entourage, smoking a big fat cigar. You're like, what are you guys doing? No, go and hide. You're an embarrassment to everyone on earth. Go and hide away. You've got money. Clearly, he's got a little bit to live on.
Mm.
Just be happy that you aren't in jail, because you should be in jail.
And how isn't he in jail? I
don't know.
It's still.
I thought Gail
the process is underway.
I thought Gail presented a watertight sort of case here.
No, still has something like 10 counts of something against him.
Yeah,
so
but I mean, if Gail was on the scene, then surely it should be like open and shut case.
In his mind, he's totally not in the wrong at all, because he has been trying to also get this gig in the UAE up until people in Dubai were like, no, dude, we are not going to let you come into this country.
And you must know.
Not going to happen.
If Dubai say you're not allowed into our country.
And what do people in Dubai do, Ben?
The Arabian showers. That someone's going to take a shit on R. Kelly's chest. It's the only way he's going to make money.
Yeah.
So you come in, but you're not singing. Go on that yacht.
What I love the most is the fact that even some of his own children have turned against him. Sure. One of his eldest daughters recently had a birthday, and she's the one who says, I do not want to talk to you. I know you're my father, but get away from me.
Get out of my life.
Has blocked him everywhere, and so R. Kelly had to go onto Instagram to sing happy birthday for his daughter.
Ay, ay, ay.
It's just a messy life.
Mm. What a disgrace. All right, well, I do have a story about the child who has three kinds of DNA in them. In other words, the DNA from three people.
That's you want to know how it's possible? You have two husbands or two wives.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of occasions that might call for this, but it's certainly new in the world of science where we're used to zygotes that are created by the DNA of a mother, the egg DNA, and the sperm from the father, and then they combine, obviously. To make a child, but here we go.
A woman has reportedly given birth to a baby who has DNA from three people. That's according to researchers at the Institute of Life in Athens, Greece. The woman gave birth to a 6-pound healthy boy after a number of unsuccessful IVF cycles. So the physicians tried a maternal spindle transfer, which removed the grouped together DNA from her egg. They placed the genetic material in another woman's donor egg, which had previously had its DNA removed. Then the donor egg with the mother's DNA was fertilized, and the embryo was transferred for pregnancy. In a statement, the Institute of Life's president said, "We are now in a position to make it possible for women with multiple IVF failures or rare mitochondrial genetic diseases to have a healthy child. While there have been a few similar births, this child is the firstborn whose mother did not have a disease affecting the mitochondria, which power critical functions in cells, including DNA replication and division. However, a number of other factors could have prevented her embryo from forming after fertilization.
Okay, I got it. So what happens is they take out the they take the normal egg DNA out of the nucleus of the egg.
Mm.
They put that into another egg.
They just use like the shell.
Right. They put it into another egg. That egg has its own mitochondrial DNA, which is the little organelles that live within the cell,
mm-hmm.
Which used to maybe be separate creatures that now we're all made of as well. And then they inject the male sperm DNA into that as well.
Sure.
So then it's actually... I mean, it's a normal process. It's not as if they've invented a way to put three different parents' DNA in there.
Mm.
But they've got a donor egg. They've got the DNA from the mother's egg. And they put that into the donor egg. And then they put the male sperm DNA in there as well. And then, obviously, it's a normal...
Wow.
Yeah, it's a normal process from there. Interesting, though, right?
Very cool.
Huh. I think so. So they're going to have... If they ever tested the DNA of this baby, what they would find is that there is... mitochondrial DNA, which is different to the nuclear DNA from both parents.
Right.
And it would show up in that generation. It would be a different, that the cell would be different.
This is going to feature in some crime series
for sure.
That I watch.
Yeah, definitely.
And it could impact or rather manifest physically as well.
Yeah, because you have your mother's nuclear DNA and mitochondrial DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You will inherit, if you go back on the female line, Leanne's mom's mom, Leanne's mom's mom's mom.
She has.
Well, there we go. Proving my point. So they all have the same mitochondrial DNA because the egg cell, there isn't any other cellular material that comes with the sperm, right?
Okay.
Just the DNA. So all it can do is add to the nucleus. It can't do anything with the rest of the cell. The mitochondria don't need the male.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you always inherit your mother's mitochondria.
I've always
DNA.
Thought mitochondria were powerful beings.
They really are.
They just don't eat men.
Mitochondrial DNA is always going to be inherited from your mother, and your mother got it from her mother, and so on all the way back. Right?
So, to Sia's question, will this person look like all three people?
No, because your mitochondrial DNA has nothing to do with your genetic characteristics.
Oh.
It only affects the mitochondria, but it's in the cell. So if you have a mitochondrial DNA disease, like there could be some kind of disease where maybe the mitochondria don't do what they're meant to do, or they die early, or they're not able to produce as much energy as you need in the cell, then that can affect the health of the cell. So in this case, the reason they're doing this is because there is a mitochondrial DNA problem with the mother, so they find a donor cell. They put
that's quite impressive.
It's very clever. It's really smart. So I'm surprised it's taken us this long as humans to get to this, but there we go. All right,
look at us doing great things.
I know, isn't it amazing? Hillary Clinton has come out and said something about Julian Assange being arrested, and she said it was not about punishing journalism and that he should be held to account for the charges against him. Remember, WikiLeaks released a cache of hacked DNC emails that embarrassed Clinton's campaign during the 2016 presidential election. So she's no fan of Julian Assange. Crooked Hillary. She was crooked. Listen, those emails came out, but they were her emails. So she's not denying she wasn't crooked. All she's saying is that Julian Assange releasing them
was also crooked.
Was crooked as well. So she's saying there are two kinds of crooked going on here. So here she is on stage with Bill talking about Julian Assange. All right? Here, listen to this quickly. Take it away, crooked Hillary.
I do. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, is my view, but...
Well, look, I think it is clear from the indictment that came out. It's not about punishing journalism. It's about... assisting the hacking of the military computer to steal information from the United States government. And look, I'll wait and see what happens with the charges and how it proceeds. But, you know, he skipped bail in the UK. You know, Sweden had those charges, which have been dropped in the last several years. But the bottom line is he has to answer for what he has done, at least as it's been charged. I do think it's a little ironic that he may be the only foreigner that this administration would welcome to the United States.
There we go. All right, so at least you threw in a joke. Crooked Hillary can be funny. Who knew? All right, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, there was this accountant. I always love these stories about people just trying to get back at their employers when it goes badly. Uh-huh. There was this guy. He's an accountant. He lives with his parents in England.
Oh, yeah?
And he stole, well, let's just say he reappropriated funds of up to £230,000. £262,000. Okay, so he worked for a company called Mr. Clutch, and they were a car servicing business.
Of course.
And he found
Mr. Clutch.
And he felt that he was being bullied at work. So what he did was he made all these false payments from different sort of franchises and routed into his account. Also, you could go do a whole bunch of cocaine and bang a whole bunch of prostitutes.
Oh, and he's the accountant, one really questions him.
Listen, always question your accountant. Always be careful. Your accountant is sometimes dodgy. Just because they're an accountant doesn't mean they're not doing blow and hookers.
But
my accountant's dad.
He did it because he felt that he was being bullied.
Well, then you should be extra careful because that has other ramifications for the family.
But he's since shown remorse and said he will pay back the money, but it will take forever, basically.
Oh, my word.
So now it's like investigations going, like, where is the money? But yeah, he had as many as 10 call girls in a private room of a club.
At Mr. Clutch.
He is the hero this week.
He went to a club called Platinum Lace after taking all of Mr. Clutch's money.
That's terrible. Terrible. Tell you what, people have no scruples.
That's the definition of petty, if you want to shove it in their face by getting cocaine and hookers.
You guys
strippers and
me.
Blow right there.
I'm going to go have cocaine and hookers.
All right, well, we're about to clear out of here and let the Auto Central team take over. There is a live episode of Auto Central coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Don't miss that, no matter what. And let's wrap it up with the un-news. Cyril Ramaphosa has met with unhappy residents in Alex. He's confident that he's now smoothed things over with them. He did this by promising to build 1 million houses, and in each house will be top-end appliances, food vouchers, and of course a car in every garage. Once a month, Beyonce and Jay-Z will also perform in a newly built arena too, and flying horses will swoop down to fly them around if they ever wish to leave this incredible utopia. Aren't we thrilled? Prince Harry and Oprah are teaming up to produce a new TV series around combating mental health. The Queen is about as cross as anyone can be about this. Mental illness is what made the royal family what it is today. She feels Harry's defying the family by doing this. Prince Philip, of course, blames all of this on marrying the help, but that's a different story. And finally, it's a joyous time for Tiger Woods, but not so much for his girlfriend. Now Tiger is back at the top of his game again. She will have to return to fist-fighting women in parking lots as they contend for Tiger's attention. She's confident she can get through this challenge, although now the Tiger is 43. She did think these days would have been behind her. Good luck. Good luck, lady. We're behind you. And we will see you tomorrow, bright and early, 6 a.m.
This is CliffCentral.com.